Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we've been talking for the last half an hour or 25 minutes or so with Dr. Randy Roth. Randolph Roth wrote the book American Homicide, which looks at why this country is so violent, why we've been more violent in other periods than in different periods in our history. He's professor of history and sociology at Ohio State University. We thought we'd let him kind of throw out his ideas and then bring two of our leading activists in to talk about what they've heard about his theories, their own questions for him, and dialogue a bit about what this says about where we are as Americans and where we go. We're joined in studio by Dante Wilson, who is founder of Reclaiming Our Children and Community Project. As I said, that's some of the most effective work I've ever seen in all my years working with young people in our communities. Just got his MSW here at Morgan State University as well, while working full-time and raising a family. I want to add that.
Yes, sir.
Bishop Doug Miles is with us. Bishop Douglas Miles is pastor at the Koinonia Baptist Church on Greenmount Avenue, not one of the ministers who, as it sounds pejorative, but ran off to a suburban church but put his church in the middle of the inner city and continues his work. He's co-chairman of BUILD and helped organize the Vigil Against Violence that will take place this coming Monday, which we'll talk about later on in the week as well in a little bit tonight. Number here is 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Or you can log on to Facebook and put your thoughts there. So, Doug Miles and Dante Wilson, you've heard what Randy Roth had to say. I'd like to hear your responses. Let me first to Doug Miles, because I saw you kind of watching your reaction in the studio as you were writing your notes for what Randy Roth was saying. Why don't you start?
All right, well, let me correct something first. We have relocated. We're in northeast Baltimore, but we're still in the city, in the heart of the neighborhood. I was shaking my head because I wondered where Dr. Roth has been. This is really a conclusion that many of us in the faith community came to years ago, that the problem of violence in American society is, he didn't say it in these terms exactly, it's a spiritual problem. It's the spiritual problem of alienation. The alienation from society, when people feel alienated, then they go after each other.
Dante Wilson?
I also agree with the gentleman and his responses. I think it's an environmental factor that contributes to how people deals with violence and why violence occur. And so I believe that a lot of times what you have is the anxiety and the stress that when you have a main society and you have people who can't fit into that main group, and so which they do, the anxiety causes them to create a subculture and a subgroup, and then we'll have violence arise at that time. And so but I really believe that it's based on the environment, the social ills that people go through on a day-to-day basis. And an increase after the late 80s and early 90s dealing with the crack epidemic, with the loss of morals and values in different systems that were taught to us prior to the crack epidemic. And so what we see right now is the evolution of what violence is when you have a lost generation or a lost society.
But again, I think it even goes, and I think this is what Dr. Roth is arguing, it goes deeper than just environment, because this epidemic of violence that we face in Baltimore goes across socioeconomic lines. And it's rooted in the fact that people do not feel connected to community. There's a complete loss of sense of community in Baltimore and most of our urban environments. There's distrust of government. The worse this recession gets and the less Barack Obama is able to deliver, that distrust is going to return and it's going to grow even greater. It's the feeling of separation from government. In the African-American community, it's heightened by the distrust of police who are viewed as community, whether they're black or, I mean, as government, whether they're black or white. And I think all of that plays into this total sense of alienation that not only our children feel, but increasingly our adults are feeling.
And Randy Roth, before everybody else comes back in, I'll take you to comment as well, what you just heard, and how you think – I'm really curious about how to take a theoretical work that you're doing and how that relates to reality in our streets and reality in terms of our social policy.
It's a good question. I really agreed with everything that Doug and Dante were saying. And I think that one of the tragedies is that not everything is going in the same direction in every community. Although we have a drop in homicide in the first half of 2009 across the nation's cities, we don't in Baltimore, as they're quite aware. That number is up. And I think when we talk about faith, I'd like to speak about that and faith. One of the great ironies of our history is that we right now, compared to other affluent nations, are probably the most church-going people in the affluent world. And still that hasn't completely overcome our homicide rate. So it's not just going to church, but I don't think that's what Doug is saying. But
no.
Doug is saying it's about, really, do I feel connected? Do I witness that faith? Do I embrace all of my fellow Americans as my fellow Americans, even if they're different from me, even if they're from different backgrounds? One of the stunning things that fits with this is that if you look at the long run up and down of homicides among unrelated adults, the best correlate from colonial times down into the 1920s was the percentage of new counties in any decade that was named after national heroes. When we unconsciously name our communities after national heroes, we don't kill each other, because it's a way of saying we're connected, not just to our leaders, but to each other, to our country. And when that number is down, we kill each other. So that connection, you know, spirituality can do a lot to help it, building community. But it's a very hard thing to do without that fundamental trust in government, too, to really back that up, to help that grow. And so I think it's absolutely true that if we see what's happening politically in the last 6 months of 2009 continue, the return of polarization and paralysis, we may be looking at another rise in homicide, yeah, and may wipe out everything that happened early in 2009. So I think this is, I really agree with the things that they're saying.
So how does, if you agree in any semblance with Randy Roth's theories and ideas about, you know, the underlying reason we have violence at different periods in American history and in different communities rather than other communities, how does that, say, affect how you think, Dante Wilson, that approaches the work you and men like you, men and women like you do, and what our kind of response for America should be?
Well, I think the response for America should be to embrace that. And I agree with the governmental and the detachment, because that's what we have in our community. So many people are against one another, and so there's really no unity, and so we can't come with one collective agenda to empower the community. And so what we have is a disparity where some people feel harmed, they feel hurt for multiple reasons, or what they think is unfair to them, whether it's generational over the years, because I believe what we have now is a generational curse. And that our dysfunctionality has become so functional that people tend to look at it as functional, and all they're doing is continue to rebirth what we see now is this violence. When I think about the 60s and I think about the Black Panther Party movement and different things of that nature, there was a disconnection between the community and police officers at that time. Police officers were brutalizing, beating the community. And so with the Black Panther Party movement, they tried to... And I know I really don't want to get into the dialogue, the wrong things, the drugs and the different things
of that nature.
But the principle of what they were created for was to uplift that community, uplift the people at that time. And if we stay connected, because there was a togetherness, there was a black pride, there was a feeling and a sense of belonging to, once you had that, then we saw a decrease in crime. But the people also was dependent upon the Black Panther Party movement. And so I agree with the information that's stated. And I think we just have to empower. Now, I understand government and the way politics are so corrupt in this way today. I really believe it's about rebuilding the community from a different standpoint, where the community joins in into a joint idea that was created by the people of that community. And then that's spread abroad.
Yeah, I think that's the whole sense of belonging that's lost in our culture right now, where people don't feel as if they belong to anything. And that's why I'm glad that Dr. Roth did not equate church going with spirituality in the sense of lack of alienation. Because during the 80s and 90s, we saw the proliferation of mega churches, particularly in the Christian community. And in some instances, mega synagogues as well, and mega mosques. But these were places where people gathered, but yet were not connected. It's very difficult to be connected in a mega situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think what has hurt the African American community is that over the years, as African Americans became more affluent and moved out of communities, communities broke down. And even the connection of our faith institutions to the communities where they were situated broke down, because the people who were going to church no longer lived in the community. So it's the whole sense of a belonging, of having having trust in government. That government, I think one of the things that happened during at least the early 60s up until about 67, 68, was that even during the turbulent time of the civil rights movement and all of that, people's basic trust in government was firm, and the belief that government would somehow intercede and make right the wrongs. That disappeared with Nixon, and folk lost faith in government. To a certain extent, as Dr. Roth has said, when Reagan was elected, the white community reconnected to government. But at that time, then the black community disconnected in its trust for government. And I think you saw the shifts in the in homicide rates then.
So I want to explore this in some greater depth. Will you let us off, Doug, and pick up with all three of our guests here? But in fairness, I'm going to get some of our listeners in who might have a comment at 410-319-8888. We're talking with Dr. Randy Roth, who wrote the book American Homicide. Dante Wilson, founder of Reclaiming Our Children Community Project, and Bishop Doug Miles, pastor of Koinonia Baptist Church, who's organizing the Vigil Against Violence next Monday, are in studio to kind of talk about the theories of dislocation in America from society and hatred of government as a reason why so much violence takes place. And what do we do about that? If it's very real politically and if it's very real spiritually, what do we do to fill that void? And Baba, you're on the air. Sorry I couldn't get you last hour, but you're on now. Go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Baba African. I happen to be a musician, and I can shed some light on this. First of all, the youth of today were raised by the capitalist system. Their parents were raised by the capitalist system. It all goes back to slavery. It was never corrected. Okay, now we need to look at the truth. They don't have no true values. They other than themselves. They was pumped with drugs. They was pumped with cigarettes, alcohol, you name it, deliberately, so it would, like, perish the God force in us, you see? And so because the body is the temple. And so, therefore, that's why they other than themselves. And it was deliberately done, but they don't have no sense of value. I would like to offer this. The sense of value that they should have would be the music. You know, you remember you had Maria Broome on there the other night?
Yes, in
December. She spoke, right, that's talent. That's healing arts. You know, that sense of value. She had a message in that. And so they, it would be chess. That would help your mental ability. It would be yoga. That would help you as far as exercise and meditation. And we should be vegetarians because, again, you are what you eat. So eating meats and everything like that is also, you know, contributing to their violent ways. And also, we're not a violent people. That's why it was a Martin Luther King Day yesterday. True? Martin Luther King was a very peaceful man. We were all created to be peaceful, but we were made violent.
Obama, thank you so much. It's always good to hear your thoughts in the airwaves here. Going back to the phones, as soon as these next callers come in, Dennis and Pam, but I let's explore a bit. I mean, even what Baba was getting to on some of his points, I mean, the idea that if dislocation causes, and separation from government and community is kind of an underpinning of violence and homicides, then I mean, I wonder where that takes this country. I mean, if you see right now we're having spikes in unemployment, though unemployment itself won't lead to it, as Randy Roth's book talks about, but you have people not trusting government, tea parties, people in especially in the and poor African-American communities feeling dislocated and apart from society. And if your theories are right, Randy Roth, and a huge portion of white America who do not trust where this country is going because it's not the nation that was a nation seen through is a white image anymore, mm-hmm. And its future. But then where does that take us? I mean, where does that take us, and what is our response to that? How do we begin to wrestle with this in a way that maybe prevents us from our own implosion?
I think that both Dante's approach and what we're seeking to do as a faith community are both needed. One, as the faith community has come together in Baltimore to launch this vigil against violence, it's supposed to be a vigil against violence and a movement toward peace, or a movement toward community. The sense that the police alone can't solve what's going on in Baltimore, that a new school here, a new school there won't do it, that there has to be the faith community, one, casting a new vision, a vision that's inclusive of all people, two, challenging the government to change its priorities and invest more equitably in areas of the city that have been underserved. Three, challenging those who are involved and who are disconnected to get connected, and challenging the faith community to be that vehicle of helping people reconnect to community. That's the importance of this prayer vigil. It's the first time in 30 years in Baltimore that the entire faith community, the leadership of the entire faith community, has come together and said that this problem is something we have to take a look
Catholic,
at.
Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, Muslim,
Hindu, Sikh,
Buddhist.
We've got it across the board.
Dante, then I'm going to go to Randy Roth and get to the phones. A ton of folks have called in. We want to try to get them in.
I totally agree with the pastor in the sense that, because initially the church was the first social service system anyway. The first social work and everything came out of the church. So I totally agree with that. I agree with the vision of mobilizing the community, because what we have are detached and people in the community that are needing. And so what we have to do is be able to provide those needs. And since it don't always come out of the community itself, that's why we have to build coalitions to be able to present to the community, here's the vision and the approach that we want to work for. But it has to be so inclusive. And as he spoke, I thought about the vision of how you provide case management, service coordination, how you integrate the communities and the schools together. And so you have the faith base, the community base, and the schools. I'm not real big on the government because I don't want us to become dependent on them. However, if we were to form this catalyst right here, the government eventually will have to conform to what it is that we have, because the people are the ones who put these different individuals in a perspective. And it really coincides with the Harlem Children's Zone. When I think about their approach and how they took back the communities in the 60 block area and the radius and things of that nature. And I believe that's what's going to change, because when it comes to people today, there is a detachment. There's no morals, no values. And I recall a story of a gentleman in Park Heights. A lot of times people don't even want to carry guns. But when you're in that street life, because you feel as though this is your ways of earning revenue and making money and things of that nature, you carry it for protection, but you really don't want to get to the point where you have to actually shoot that gun. Now, unfortunately, in some situation, I have spoken to the person that I'm talking about. He actually had to fire the gun, and so much anxiety built up that he left the scene before the person even dropped the body. But something happens when you actually shoot that gun, because when he ran to his cousin's house, and the cousin went to touch him. First, he was asking for help. You know, the gun is burning me. The gun is right here. I just shot somebody. Something happened. I didn't want to go down like that. And then when he came to the place of safety and his cousin went to touch him, he was a totally different person. And so I don't know what happened. I don't know the transformation that happened once he fired that gun. But once he fired that gun, this individual really became a murderer at that time. And that's because there's no morals. There's no values. There's no remorse system. People are not sensitized to certain things anymore. And so we need to be able to implement that back into our communities if we really expect to see some change. And it has to start with, I agree, faith-based and community-based. I'm not really dependent on the government.
And I do want to open the phone to our callers, 1, 2, 3 in a row here, 4 in a row. But Randy Roth, I'd like you to kind of tie your own thoughts into this.
Well, I think, you know, we're really, in many ways, working on the same page. I think what we're really talking about is something that Barack Obama's talked about, nation building at home. How do we see how difficult it is elsewhere in Afghanistan and Iraq to build a real strong government that has the trust of people, how strong it is to get people from different backgrounds, different faiths to come together. It's a difficult thing. And when we take a look at when our homicide rate did drop from, say, the beginning of the FDR administration down into the late 50s and early 60s, it took 25 years, you know, of really strong leadership, largely successful foreign and domestic policies to build trust, and a willingness on the part of the American people to support policies that entailed great risk and enormous sacrifice and coming together. And I don't know if we can do that in the absence of a Great Depression or a World War or a Cold War. But we need to try to figure out how to do that. You know, faith is a way to do that. But how do you rebuild that trust so people aren't saying, I'm an American and you're not? And my friends from overseas are stunned at how much Americans hate their government, how they'll, just in a flip way, just talk in such a hostile way. So So these things take years to build, and I think they have to come from the community, but it has to come, I think, too, from those elites, from those political leaders, but it has to come ultimately, it's true, from us. We have to believe in each other, make the sacrifices to look out for other Americans who are less fortunate. We did that during the Great Depression. You know, will we do that now? That's the big issue with health care.
Let us hear what our listeners think about all this at 410-319-8888. Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Good evening, everybody.
Well,
good evening.
Welcome.
Yeah, I definitely think that it has to be more of a push for transparency for the common citizens and the government. We've heard Obama talk about it. I don't think we're really experiencing it. It's more about smoke and mirrors right now. I mean, it has to happen in federal government, state government, local government. Then when we have real issues, that the community has with the government, they really need to be addressed. I mean, open forum is not enough because all we do is talk about it and it gets blown over. There has to be, some sort of civic action committee where private citizens can actually have their hands in what's going on in the government. After all, it's supposed to be our government, right?
It's supposed to be.
And that's what's key about this vigil that's coming up, this vigil to movement. It's the effort to rebuild community, to re-engage people, to organize communities, and to positively impact government, to move government back to relationship with the people it's supposed to serve. And when that doesn't happen, then the society breaks down into gangs. And it's a gang, whether it's a street gang or it's a corporate gang. Everybody starts looking out for their own self-interest and their own little group, and we cease to be community.
I'm glad you put that balance from street gang and corporate gang. That's important for us to hear. 410-319-8888. Dennis in Parkton, you're on the air.
Guys, I'm reminded of a statement full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. What does government have to do with crime in our city, with us killing each other? What does government have to do with it? Let me break this down to exactly where we are. We've lost our moral standards, guys. We've lost our moral standards. And then there are no men in the family to teach the moral standards. And that's where we are.
And a lot of that has to do with people, what has happened in government. Fathers didn't just leave homes. There were government policies that encouraged fathers to leave home, called welfare, where family could not get welfare unless there was no man in the home. Government policies helped create the crack epidemic that has devastated whole communities. So when you say that government has nothing to do with it, I think you're living in the world as it should be rather than the world as it is. Government impacts every area of life.
I also agree because, Ronald Reagan gave immunities for drugs to be in the different communities as well. But when you have a government that will put a lack of resources in one community and give another community more money, then it actually causes crime in that particular area that lack resources because you're responding out of anxiety. But I do agree that more men need to step up. I do agree that more people in the community need to come together. But it has to be looked at from the total picture which is presented. And so the government does contribute to the crimes that's in our community.
And Randy Roth, if you could, towards the end here, just very quickly, in less than a minute, kind of wrap up how you see your theories fitting together for us to wrestle with.
Well, the last caller, I mean, it's not inconsistent to say that we really have to be concerned about family. And one of the things that's so interesting is that family violence follows different patterns. And, for instance, if we talk about killing of children, it does follow the economy. When the economy goes bad, more of us kill our own children, abuse our own children. So, and having a strong family, we know that children are less likely to be abused by their biological parents if they're both at home. We just know that for a fact. And so there are many kinds of violence that are absolutely tied to the breakdown of the family.
And Randy Roth, I'm sorry we have to wrap up, but we're just about out of time here, and I want to thank you so much. I hope you'll join us again and make a larger discussion here with our guests, Dante Wilson, Bishop Doug Miles. Great to see you both. Thank you both for coming in to make this show and round it up for us and bring it down to the reality of our communities.
Thank you, Pat.
Good to have you all with us.
Don't forget the vigil at Mary Our Queen.
Violence, our city, our responsibility. Be there Monday, January the 25th, 7 to 8:15 p.m. at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen at North Charles and Northern Parkway. Your presence will make a statement. the entire faith community is coming together to act, and not just to pray, but to act as well, because we're all hurt by violence. You can call 410-261-1880 for more information, and we will put that on our website for you all to be part of as well. Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite, Baltimore's free monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite welcomes the new decade with a second annual Breakthroughs issue, highlighting 10 simple ideas that could change the city. Urbanite is available at over 800 locations. Visit www.urbanitebaltimore.com for a list of drop locations. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producer is Justin Levy. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Marianne Amos. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new interviews, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Stay involved. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by MECU, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development.